Good morning. We're going to continue our Advent series this morning from John chapter 6. We've been looking this year at why Jesus came to earth in his own words. We all have conceptions, and I'm sure our friends and neighbors have conceptions of why Jesus came to earth, but isn't it better to have Jesus tell us himself? To hear in his own words, "This is why I came to you." And so that's what we're seeking to do this morning in this Advent season. Our passage today holds deep comfort for the people of God. And I've really personally benefited from it over the last few weeks, and I am so excited to share it with you this morning. So the text you're about to hear will have three entities in it, all right? The first two are members of the Trinity. We've got the Father, God, and his beloved, obedient Son, Jesus. And then there's a third entity, a group of people. So I'd like to invite our scripture reader to come forward now. And as we listen to them read the text, I'll ask you to focus on God the Father and God the Son. Those are the two people I want you to focus on, the people of the Trinity, the persons of the Trinity. How is God the Father related to the group of people that are being spoken of? And how is God directing his Son towards those people? So similarly, how is Jesus the Son of God responding to his Father? And then how is Jesus relating to those people, all right? So look at the Father, look at the Son through the text of John chapter 6. Let's listen now to the Word of God.
John chapter 6, verse 37 to 40. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
What spiritual doubts do you bring this morning? What fears haunt you? If you're a member here at Providence or a fellow believer in Christ, how confident are you that you're going to make it to the end? The Christian life is a battle, is it not? It's a struggle. And so it's very common as we travel along this Christian life to struggle with unbelief or to fight for faith. Sometimes it seems like our faith can be easily shaken, does it not? This might happen when we confront our sin. There's more wickedness in us than we can sometimes handle, it seems. It's pretty common to lack hope when you've messed up repeatedly, over and over again, right? Or circumstances can bring you temptations to doubt. We feel life's pressure. We feel life's stressors. We feel discouraged sometimes. We might even feel overwhelmed. Have you ever worried that you would crack under the pressure of life? Or perhaps people have wronged you. You may feel physical pain. That's not necessarily your fault. It may be the result of suffering. Or you may feel emotional pain where people have hurt you. I mean, the wrongs that humans deliver to each other can leave real wounds, real scars. Do you ever worry about that overcoming you or overwhelming you? Do you ever worry about giving up? I mean, how can we keep going when we're so small, we're so weak, we're so wicked, we're so embattled? If you're feeling that reality this morning, then John chapter 6 has courage and comfort for you. If you feel like you're spiritually drowning, Jesus wants to throw you a lifeline this morning. It's the lifeline of his truth and himself contained in John chapter 6. Now, if you're a child or a teen here this morning, or you're not yet a Christian, but you're thinking about it, you're evaluating Christianity, you're evaluating Jesus, maybe you want to become a Christian, but you know, something's holding you back. Maybe you're trying to think, could this work for me? Do I dare throw my life upon Jesus? Maybe when you see a lack of self-control in your life, you worry, like, can I commit to something for life? Or maybe you see, like, weaknesses in your ability to hold relationships together. You're like, you know, I don't have any business making a lifelong commitment to Jesus. Is that a barrier for you? Maybe you picture yourself trying hard for a while and you know your endurance is just not there, and you picture your mojo petering out, you know. You're like, what if I give up in a decade or 2 decades? Have you ever had those thoughts? What if your faith runs dry, you might ask, right? What if God rejects us? What if I'm not real comfortable with myself. I feel awkward, you know. I'm not, like, maybe it's hard to like me sometimes. What if God feels that way about me too? Have you ever had those thoughts? You might deep down fear rejection from God. So if you're considering Christianity today and you find yourself in a place sort of like that, I am so glad you're here. I believe God wants to speak to you from John chapter 6. He has help for all of those feelings and more than I haven't described. All right, this is what I want you to know this morning. Jesus came to earth to keep us. He came to keep. He didn't come to borrow. He didn't come to dabble. He didn't come to toy with us. He didn't even come to be kept by us. He came to keep. He came to keep us. Now, Christ alone can keep you. Christ alone can keep me. Christ alone can keep us together to the end. Listen, you will never find assurance of salvation by looking inside yourself, okay? In order to have confidence in what God is doing in salvation, we have to look out. We have to look up. We have to look at Jesus. We have to look at the Father. We have to look at the Holy Spirit. That's where our confidence as people that belong to God comes from. It's less about us grabbing hold of Jesus, and it's more about God grabbing hold of us. That's where our assurance comes from as believers. So let's do that now. Let's look out. Let's look up. Let's look at the glorious realities of who God is in John chapter 6. Verses 37 through 40. Please allow me to read them again. They're so sweet. Here is the Savior speaking to his people. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Christians often talk about Jesus being the greatest gift at Christmas time, and that's true. Jesus is the greatest gift that humanity could ever receive. Jesus is the greatest gift that God the Father could ever give to us. He's given us himself as he's given us his Son. But look again at verse 37. All that the Father gives me. All that the Father gives me. So before the gift of Jesus given to us is the gift of God's people given to God's Son. The Father is a giver. The Father gives a people to his Son. So, to speak in theological terms, predestination precedes incarnation with respect to human history, right? Predestination precedes incarnation. That means God's gracious plan of saving people comes first, and then Jesus comes to earth to fulfill that plan second. So, if you belong to Jesus, this is true of you. You are a gift from a father to a son. You are a gift from the heavenly Father who in eternity past set his heart upon you, loved you, called you by name, and specifically gave you to his beloved, obedient Son, Jesus Christ. Before the gift of Jesus comes to earth, the gift of God's people are given to the Son. Providence Church, we together are part of that gift. Our salvation doesn't rest on the cobwebs of our accomplishments. Our salvation doesn't rest on the tattered rags of our righteousness. Our security as God's people comes first from the heart of an eternal Father who is a giver. And he overflows with love to his beloved Son, and he gives a people to that Son. Dear brother, dear sister, do you need a reason to trust God's commitment to you this morning? Look to the Father. Look to the Father who gives you to his Son. His eternal plans and purposes are behind you and before you, and his overflowing love for his Son lifts you up. It holds you up. If the Father has given you to the Son, then you are safe. Now, if you don't belong to Jesus this morning, you can ask the Father to give you to the Son. Father God, would you please give me to Jesus? Is a good prayer. Salvation starts in the heart of a Father who overflows with love to his Son. And out of the overflow of that love, we are wrapped up and lifted up into his people. Now, if you have done that, or if you're thinking about doing that, or you're about to do that, be assured, because just as the Father gives, so the Son receives. Look at that verse 37 again. There is a one-to-one correlation between the ones who are given by the Father and the ones who are received by the Son. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. The Father gives, the Son receives, and there's no discrepancy between the gift and the reception. Not one is lost. Each of God's people are safe. If you are truly given, and that's important, if you are truly given, you will rightly come, and that's important, you will rightly come, and then you will never be cast out. Never. This is the Father's will, this is the Father's gift, and therefore it is the Son's purpose. And so you see in salvation that Jesus is a receiver. He's not a rejecter, he's a receiver. Jesus came to earth to wholeheartedly receive us, to wholeheartedly receive God's people. His heart is warm. His heart is open. If God gives us to Jesus, Jesus receives us. He gladly obeys his Father. He loves his Father. He wants to receive what his Father gives him. Now, it is possible to come to Jesus wrongly, okay? If you have questions about that, please talk to me or another elder. Okay, that's not what this text is about, though. This text shows us that if you come to Jesus rightly and fully, he will never cast you out. Now, Satan will not tell you this. Satan will tell you that Jesus will cast you out. The world and sinful humanity will not tell you this. They will tell you if you don't live up to certain expectations, you will be rejected. Your sinful heart will not tell you this. It will tell you that you are condemned, that you are detestable, that you make God displeased with you. Those are lies for the people of God. For the people of God, Jesus is receiving a gift from his Father. So be careful what voices you listen to. Be careful what voices you hear. Be careful what you ruminate on, what you think about, what you meditate on. We have to look out. We have to look up. We have to look to Jesus. All that the Father gives him will come to him, and whoever comes to him, he will never cast out. Never. John Bunyan wrote a book on this single verse. That's how the Puritans did it, right? The title of his book is this, Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. And in that book, he pictures a sinner coming to Jesus and protesting on this very point. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I updated the language a little bit. Perhaps you can identify. This is what John, essentially, what John Bunyan writes. So we've got a sinner speaking to Christ. "But I am a great sinner," you say. "I will never cast you out," says Christ. "But I am an old sinner," you say. "I will never cast you out," says Christ. "But I am a hard-hearted sinner," you say. "I will never cast you out," says Christ. "But I am a backsliding sinner," you say. "I will never cast you out," says Christ. "But I have served Satan all my days," you say. "I will never cast you out," says Christ. "But I have sinned against your light," you say. "I will never cast you out," says Christ. "But I have sinned against mercy," you say. "I will never cast you out," says Christ. "But I have no good thing to bring with me," you say. "I will never cast you out," says Christ. How can Jesus do that? How can he receive us in such a complete and merciful way? It's because Jesus didn't just come to receive. Jesus came to keep those he receives. Remember, the gift comes with a relationship to the giver. The gift comes with a will. The gift comes with a purpose. The gift comes with an intention from the Father who gave. So Jesus comes to earth not just to receive the people God gave him, but to keep the people God gave him. This is the Father's will. And we know Jesus perfectly honors and obeys his Father. And he speaks to that in this text. Now let's look at verse 38 and following. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." What is the will of him who sent you, Jesus? "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me." Praise God. "But raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." So why did Jesus come down from heaven? He came to keep. He came to earth to keep all those that the Father had given him. He loves his Father. He loves his Father's will. He comes to earth not to do his own will, but to do the will of the one who sent him. And what is that will? Gloriously, it is this: that he should not lose a single one of the people whom God has given him. The people whom God set his heart on. The people that God gave to him in overflowing love. So when we celebrate Christmas, we are celebrating a son who is so committed to his Father's will that he will stop at nothing to receive and to keep those people that the Father has given him. Jesus is so committed to his Father's will that he is willing to leave the comforts and the freedom of heaven for the confinement of a human womb for 9 months. He's so devoted to obeying his Father that he loves that he's willing to lay in a humble manger instead of a crib in a palace. He's willing to grow up in obscurity. He's willing to grow up in poverty because he's joyfully obeying his heavenly Father. He's willing to just slowly grow up over 3 decades, living a perfect, sinless life because he loves his Father and he came to keep the people God gave him. And of course, Providence Church, you know that he's willing to suffer and die in our place because he came to keep, not to toy with us, not to borrow us. He came to keep us. Remember, his joy in obedience to the Father and the coming accomplishment pushed him through that experience on the cross with joy. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising his shame. And some of that joy was the joy of a son obeying his Father and keeping the people that the Father had given him. That includes you, Providence Church. What pleases the Father, what honors the will of the Father, is that the Son should keep you safe forever. Verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Now that work of keeping didn't stop when Jesus died on the cross. That work of keeping God's people didn't stop when he ascended back into heaven. That work of keeping continues today. In fact, Jesus left earth in his ascension for the same reason he came to earth in his incarnation. He came to earth to keep us, and he left earth to keep us forever. If you belong to Jesus, of course, Jesus came to earth to keep you. He lived and died to keep you. He rose from the dead to keep you, but he ascended to the Father's right hand to keep you as well. And he's keeping you today. He came to keep, and now he ever lives to keep those who belong to him by interceding for us in heaven. It's the ongoing intercession of Christ right now at the Father's right hand that keeps us secure today. Now listen to how this worked during the earthly ministry of Christ for Peter. You remember Peter. He denied Jesus three times during his trial. Peter was weak. Peter was scared. Peter was in self-preservation mode. He didn't know what to do. He was beyond the limits of his ability to function as a follower of Jesus. He was broken. What a serious failure. What shame he must have felt. What guilt he must have felt. But this is what Jesus said to him before the fact. This is before the denials happened. Jesus knew this was coming, and he intervened. He intervened on Simon Peter's behalf. This is from Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. This is Jesus speaking to Simon Peter, so he addresses him as Simon in this text. So, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. It's like tear you to pieces, scatter you like dust. Satan demanded to have you. Satan said, it's my right to claim Peter. He's a denier. Cast him out. Give him to me. He's mine. Verse 32, Jesus says this, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Why does the faith of Peter continue? Why does the accusation of Satan fall short? Because of the intercession of Jesus on Peter's behalf. And then this comforting promise, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers, right? I know you'll come back from this, Peter. I know you'll experience my grace. And you're going to have so much grace that you'll be able to strengthen others in the strength of my might, because I have interceded for you that your faith may not fail. That's how Peter continues on in the faith. And that's how you continue on in the faith today. God answers the prayers of Jesus for the people that he has given him. You see how this works? The Father gives a people to the Son and says, it's my will that you keep these people. Then the Son accomplishes salvation, returns to heaven, and intercedes for those people. It is the will of the Father that he keep them. And so when he prays on your behalf, the Father is pleased to answer those prayers. The Father says, yes, that is my heart for my daughter. Yes, that is my heart for my son. Yes. Jesus prays for you in the face of the enemy's accusations. His life, his ministry, his ongoing intercession for you is the reason you can be kept until glory. Don't look down for hope. Don't look inside for comfort. Look out. Look up. Look at the Savior who came to keep and who now lives to make intercession for us. This is captured so beautifully in Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What will save you to the uttermost? How will you get into heaven? Because Jesus, when you draw near to God through him, is able to save you because he always lives to make intercession for you. Now, our faith may ebb and flow. You may be at a high point, you may be at a low point today, but Jesus' intercession for you, his heart towards you, the Father's heart towards you, does not wax and wane. It is as constant as his resurrected, glorified life. So as you anticipate Christmas this season, look out, look up. Recognize the Father's heart to give us to his Son. Observe the Son coming to earth, both to receive and to keep us. Remember his ongoing life, the life of Jesus, interceding effectively for us in heaven. He came to keep us, and now he lives to keep us. So let's hear Jesus saying to us this morning, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Let's pray together. Father, we see your heart. You are a giver. You give us to your Son. Savior, we see your heart. You receive and you keep. Thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for coming to earth to keep us. Thank you for returning to heaven. Thank you for returning to heaven to keep us. We look upon you. We believe in you. Help us to believe in you. Thank you for this Advent season where we can look out and we can look up to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.